Elissa Walker-Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With the biggest and best names in sports.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
I watched our kids in the offseason. You could really tell the work ethic. Our kids have played very hard, and they put themselves in a position where they are right now.
The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa, it's our pleasure. You've always been good to us, and we're glad to be part of it.
Hosted by Elissa Walker-Campbell.
And we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show at eradiosports.com. As promised, it is time to take a look ahead. We are going to preview the 2013 college football season, and what better way to kick things off than visiting with TCU's head football coach Gary Patterson, who is entering into his 13th season with the Horned Frogs. And I tell you what a journey it has been for him. He has completely transformed TCU, set a very high standard of excellence. He's the all-time winningest coach, and we certainly and sincerely appreciate the time. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Well, it is a brand new season. It is just around the corner. Another year of very big expectations. In fact, TCU at the Big 12 Media Days was selected third in the official preseason poll by the media. And I think there's a number of reasons to be excited about this year, all the young talent you have coming back and the challenge that lies ahead. But Gary, what are you looking forward to the most with this particular team and this particular season?
Well, you know, going into last season, we really didn't know that we were going to have the complications that we had injury-wise and some of the other things that went on. But probably the first thing is just having a group of guys that are a little bit older than what we've been the last 2 years since the Rose Bowl. So having a group that, you know, last year we only have six seniors really that played. We have around eight that will play this year. So everybody's still a very young football team. But just having most of our guys have been through a season already in the Big 12, kind of know expect the level of competition that they have to play at and get ourselves ready to go.
What was your impression the first year in the Big 12 conference overall and just how competitive it is and truly one of the premier conferences within the country?
Yeah, there wasn't any surprises. You know, we had played a lot of the teams in the league and we understood the level of skill level and level of athletes that each university has, and it's a week-to-week situation, and we knew going in that was going to be part of it. You know, we had played them, but I think the thing for our guys, especially the young team, which we knew about but they didn't know about, we told them about it, was just, you know, at the end of the year we thought we got a little bit tired, and so, you know, just being able to handle the grind and getting a little bit older, I think, was probably the thing that the team learned, not necessarily the staff.
Talk to us about what we can expect defensively this year with this team. I know that you always take a tremendous amount of pride with that. You guys made quite an impression last year. We're talking about the Big 12. In fact, finished first in the Big 12 in total defense, second in scoring defense, and first against the run. What can we look forward to?
Well, you know, for us, you just have to get better. You know, you're not gonna get where you fool people twice. A little bit tougher non-conference schedule early numbers-wise against LSU, and then played a rain game last year against SMU. But I think just for us is to understand that, you know, doing what we ever have to do to hold somebody to one less point. I told people last year that you got to learn in the Big 12 how to make people kick field goals. And, you know, keep them to three, not to seven. And you know, really that rule applies. You know, they've got some very good skill players across the board. Every team does. And you're not going to stop them. How do you control them? And how do you get yourself in a situation where you can get people off the field? And that's really what we're trying to get accomplished. And they understand the goal that, you know, unless you go out and play hard every game, just like you did a year ago when you were a little bit younger, you don't give yourself a chance.
We're going one-on-one with Gary Patterson talking TCU football. Of course, the Frogs open up camp July 31st. The first practice is set for August 1st. And right now we're talking about things defensively. You guys return, nine starters back on D? You lose Kenny Kane and Stanley Maponga. Who are the guys that will be filling those slots?
Well, you know, by committee, you have John Koontz, which was a young man from Aledo that will be a senior defensive end, Josh Carraway, Matt Anderson, which we thought we were going to have a year ago, was out the whole season with a knee. Those three guys are back, along with a couple younger guys coming in, Bryson Henderson. But you know, everybody else in our front really comes back. With, you know, if Devontae comes back and is going to be an older, he played as a freshman, he's a lot stronger player now, older, smarter, and for him to be able to play at the next level, because people now, they're not going to be able to double team Stansley and give him. You're going to get to where now they're going to give him all their attention. So everybody has to be a little bit better to have the same kind of year they had a year before. And, you know, I think they're looking forward to the challenge. They've worked awful hard in the spring and in the summertime to get to that point.
Well, Devontae Fields, he's a guy that certainly can make life miserable for the opponents. Give us an update on Jason Verrett and Sam Carter.
Well, you know, Jason Verrett, what didn't do a lot in the spring, we kind of cleaned up a leg for him and doing it, but really had a late, great spring and then a summertime. Obviously, he's a guy that really his whole life has been out to prove people wrong. Sam Carter was a guy that didn't have a great freshman year, that both of those guys, you know, were first team, second team, all Big 12, that give ourselves an opportunity. Both of them coming back and playing another season obviously makes us a lot better.
There's a lot of formulas for winning in college football, but success is ultimately determined by defense. And, you know, when I think about your program, we followed it throughout the years. How have you been able to, Coach Patterson, have sustained success and maintain that high level of consistency on the defensive end?
Well, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the kind of players we can recruit in the state of Texas. You know, the speed factor of kids that can run and then big and wanting to be good. You know, if you look at the history of TCU, they've been historically have been a good defensive football team because of the kind of guys that like to come here. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to the defensive staff. And, you know, I always tell people, you look at stats, whether it be offense that scored a lot of points or a lot of yardage or defense that does the opposite, holds them low and in both categories, I think you got to give a lot of credit to the whole game plan. You know, if the offense is holding the ball and scoring points, it's a lot easier for the defense to play not standing on the field and vice versa. So, you know, I'm one of those guys, even though we get credit for the defense, you know, what I've been most proud of, you know, and last year even the same way, we just, you lose a quarterback, you lose your tailbacks, but just the way we've scored points and the way we went about that and finding a formula just to win. I think the thing for us is how do you find a formula that you can go win ball games with, and that's, you know, that's what we're trying to get accomplished.
And, of course, a way and a formula to win is bringing on some additional coaches that have extensive coaching experience. Tell us about DeMonte Cross, your new linebackers coach.
Well, DeMonte, you know, had coached with the Buffalo Bills, was at Kansas, had been at Iowa State, played at Missouri, brings a wealth of experience, very intense guy that, you know, really wants to learn, never been in a 4-2-5 system, but came here for the simple reason of being able to learn it and has recruited the area down here. Coach Looper grew up in Sherman, Texas, so he'd been here. His wife's from Menace, so he has unbelievable Texas roots. Was at Auburn, won a national championship, and recruited some really big-time players at Oklahoma that, you know, we all know. Des Bryant, you look at Blackman, wide receivers up there, had coached a bunch of 1,000-yard rushers. So here you have two guys that really have added a lot of chemistry and a lot of work and a lot of, really, to be honest, a lot of inspiration to staff. You know, you bring somebody in new and they came here for the reason they feel like that we can, you know, we can do great things at TCU, and it makes us all get better because of their work ethic and how they do things.
I was going to say another wonderful addition was Kenny Perry coming from Arlington High School.
Coach Perry, which he had been he's a very renowned, known guy that was a head coach for 20-some years at Arlington Bowie. That's been in the profession for a long time, and his knowledge of the high school coaches, his knowledge of the recruiting base in the state of Texas has really already made a big difference in what we've been able to get accomplished.
Okay, so he will not serve as like a direct recruiter, but just kind of a liaison with the high schools, is that correct?
High school, he's our high school liaison, you know, and there's some changes coming down pipe with the NCAA as far as how what you name coaches and what you do, but that's what his job description is right now.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We're talking to Gary Patterson, one of our favorites, the head coach with TCU. And speaking of areas of improvement, I know you're always wanting to tighten things up a little bit better on the offensive line. So I know it was a bit of a concern last year. What, you returned three starters this year. Tell us about your O-line.
Well, for us, you know, last year, basically, you had three starters. You had Avion Collins that had to start, the true freshman, Tal Fabergé, which was a sophomore, but he had been at BYU, redshirted, and then had to sit out a year because he transferred. So basically he was like a true freshman. He was his first year of college football. And so, you know, you had a group that had not played together a whole lot in our groups. You basically had two guys, Blaze Fultz, our center, that basically came back that had played a lot of football, and everybody else had been young. And so for us, we lost James Dunbar for the season. And now James is back. So having possibly these guys three in the fold along with Big V from over in Halton City, that was a true freshman. You know, we had to play 17 true freshmen, and three or four of those guys had been on the offensive line. So to be able to be a year older anytime, especially going in the Big 12 with the kind of fronts that you have to play against, really makes a big difference.
TCU picked third in the official preseason Big 12 poll by the conference media. We're talking to Gary Patterson, and I think one thing is certain that the Frog fans are very excited about is the depth at the quarterback position. Casey Pahal returns. You got Trevon Boykin. And as I understand, no quarterback has been determined at this point, and perhaps that you'll be platooning quarterbacks. Some say that's a dicey proposition. My question to you, Coach Patterson, is have you ever done that before throughout all your years of coaching?
Well, yeah, I mean, we used to. To be honest, my first year as coaching, you know, we always said we were going to get the number two guy in the game, and in third series against Nebraska, first game of the season, my inaugural year as a head coach, Sean Stille came in the game and on the two-yard line and play action and threw a 15-yard out for first down. And so, you know, we've done that in the past. We've run quarterbacks in to run the Wildcat formation. But, you know, really, I've been just throwing out stuff because I don't really know. We really know yet till we get into 2-a-days.
How do you go about creating a functioning quarterback platoon so that there's no confusion and everybody knows what their role is within the system and perhaps what to expect?
Well, it's easy because, you know, I've never used the word platoon. You know, we had said that possibly we may use two quarterbacks in the ball game, but as a general rule, the way we'll do it is one will end up being the starter and the other one will have a role of what he does. But the thing I think we feel comfortable with, when we came out of last spring, we felt like we only had one quarterback that we thought we could win with because Trevon was a redshirt freshman, and, you know, it really, you know, he had gotten better, but we weren't where we needed to be. And now we feel like we've had two quarterbacks that can play a high level in the Big 12 if one of them goes down. And, you know, in this time, this age and time, the way people can rush the passer, I think that's an added benefit.
Well, I think some of the good news is, of course, is that Casey's progress, as I've heard, is that there's a new look in his eye. He's worked really, really hard. And, you know, just I'm sure he's very appreciative to you for giving him a second chance. What's been the key for this new outlook that he has?
Well, I think like anybody that has dealt with alcohol, I think the biggest thing is just being able to get away from it. And, you know, he came back to TCU in the spring. You know, he had color back in his face. Him and I could have conversations that we weren't having this last year, and so he was like the guy that graduated and came in early out of Brownwood, Texas. That was, you know, a good student, good player, and eager to move on with his life. And so he's got an opportunity to graduate in December, and hopefully lead us to a lot of victories, him and Trevon, and then go about our business. But, you know, more importantly, you know, the decision we made was to see if we could help him for the rest of his life, which, I mean, in some ways that's what we were, you know, that's what coaches are supposed to do.
That's great, giving second chances to young kids. I mean, what, he's 22 years old. But I think there's one thing that you're certainly looking forward to. It's circled on the calendar. Of course, August 31st, you open up at Cowboy Stadium against LSU, and it certainly is going to be a difficult challenge, but never underestimate Gary Patterson, right?
Well, we played in big ball games. We understand the pedigree that LSU brings to town and the kind of coach that Coach Miles and his staff is. You know, a little disadvantage with the new offensive coordinator, how he's going to call ball games for us. But we know their defense. They've lost some players. We've lost some players. But, you know, it's a lot of people say, why would you schedule that game? I think, you know, TCU every once in a while needs a chance to schedule that game. We have LSU on the schedule. We've got Minnesota home and home in a couple years, next year starting. We have Ohio State and we have Arkansas. So we feel like that you got to go play one of those games in your three or four non-conference games and then get in your league because it helps you get prepared for it. And, you know, the LSU game is one of those situations where, does your chances of possibly not winning the game go down because of the kind of program that they're – yes. But the positives that can come out of this program from playing well, confidence in your team, winning, and in winning a ball game like this and what it escalates and what it pushes you into as far as on a national stage and understanding the kind of athletes they're going to play with and we play against, I think there's just a big upside to what we're trying to get accomplished.
Gary, you've played in Cowboy Stadium before. What do you like about it the most?
Well, obviously, kids like it. Getting a chance to play there, you know, I think it shows that you're a big-time program. I think, you know, they don't ask a lot of people to be able to play these kind of games and play them in this stadium because there's a lot of interest. And so, it recruiting-wise, I don't think you can even identify the magnitude of what it does for you with your recruits in the state playing in a game. There's some people that play there, you know, just in a regular conference game, but to kick it off or play a bowl game there is truly amazing. We did that against Oregon State a couple years ago. And, you know, just the energy and everything that was magnified by doing that in Cowboys Stadium the first game of the season paid off for us. We ended up going to the Rose Bowl. So.
As I understand, LSU, TCU, this is the first meeting since 1968?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know,
I can share. I wasn't even born then.
You know, we had not beaten Texas at Texas since 1967. So, I mean, hopefully we can keep on dealing with the first, you know. But all of them are tough. So we just got to keep doing it.
Absolutely. We sincerely appreciate the time and good luck this season, Coach. Thank you so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.